Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, lots going on this week. Holy cow, it never ends, does it?
It doesn't, and we've got a great show today. The first segment here, we're going to be talking about the biggest problem that we face, and that's the invasion at the southern border. There's a fascinating article in the American Thinker on October the 16th, and we're going to kind of walk through the thought process on that. Obviously, we're going to talk about Israel and the fact that Congresswoman Stansbury refused to sign the pro-Israel resolution. So we're going to visit the Israel-Hamas problems. Then the governor is back talking about even taking more rights from gun owners. And so we'll address that. We've got just an interesting clip of President Biden. It gives you a sense of where he is right now in his physical and mental condition.
Also, how the media treats him with kid gloves. They would never do what you're going to hear in the clip for a Republican.
Yeah, let's play that right now, because I think that we've got people's interest focused on it. Let's have a listen and discuss it.
Yeah, so President Biden was on with Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes. I've never seen this before, where the reporter has to tell the president what he believes, and then the president just answers, yeah. Here's Scott Pelley and President Biden on 60 Minutes.
You would like to see a humanitarian corridor that allows some of the 2 million Gazans out of the area.
Yes.
You would like to see humanitarian supplies brought into Gaza.
Yes.
It's like he's saying the words, and all Biden knows what to do is say yes. That's not a positive sign for the sitting president to be that incapacitated that literally has to put the words out, and then the president just has the ability to say and agree. But the bigger question is that whole idea of humanitarian aid. I visited Israel, I visited Egypt, I visited that entire region as the congressional representative from the 2nd District of New Mexico, and I will tell you that none of that humanitarian aid gets to the people. What happens is that Hamas intercepts it, and then they use it to build those tunnels underneath Israel out to the border. So when these attacks came, the Israelis were quite surprised at some of the munitions that the Hamas soldiers had, and that's because they had come in through the tunnels. When we visited with Egypt prior to going into Israel, our congressional delegation, this is now 10 to 12 years ago, was making the point that Hamas is doing nothing for the people, and they're digging these tunnels that bring in armaments and make that area less safe. Then also this idea that the Palestinians could be offered some place to go and a way to get out. None of the Arab countries will let them in. They don't want a solution. They want the problem. And so for decades, the Palestinians have been living there in Gaza, and Hamas is the self-appointed government, but they do nothing for the people as the government, and they take any aid that is directed into the area and use it for military purposes. So you got two stories coming out of that Biden clip. Number one is that the president doesn't seem to be able to articulate his position on these serious world affairs. And then number two, the press is putting out false information. Ben Shapiro has a really good rebuttal to the pro-Hamas supporters. He addresses four of the major areas that the leftists are pushing here in this country and refutes all of them. But it's a fascinating read, fascinating to listen to him.
How is it that the Israeli intelligence and our intelligence didn't pick up on this before it happened? They're usually pretty good at that.
Well, you have to think that, number one, Hamas is getting a little bit better. They used to just communicate on social media, and it was pretty easy to track. So I suspect that they're using encrypted websites, but also then the tunnels. There's an estimate that there's about 3,000 miles of tunnel under the Gaza Strip, and it's a very small area. You just can't imagine that they can get 2 million people and 3,000 miles of tunnels underneath it. But that's probably the best explanation for it.
The whole thing's probably going to cave in. I understand it's about 25 miles long and about 5 miles wide.
Yeah, it's a very narrow little piece of land. You know, back in the Six-Day War in 1967, several of the Arab nations joined together and they were all going to annihilate Israel. That was their stated purpose. And Israel, for the most part, through the decades, has remained, they're very hard, but they don't get out and go on the aggression without stimulation. So in 1967, all of the Arab countries surrounding Israel joined together and were going to come in and try to annihilate them. And Israel defeated them all in 5 days, 6 days. They ended up owning the Sinai Peninsula. They eventually gave that back in the peace negotiations. But that's where they took over the West Bank. That's where they took over the Gaza Strip. And they still have both of those today. And again, a lot of misinformation coming out from the press. And you hear it on that clip where 60 Minutes is giving the answers to Biden. And all he's got to do is say yes.
From their border to our border, we know there's tunnels under our southern border. And the speculation is if these kind of terrorists could come across into Israel, are we next?
Yeah, well, that American Thinker article, again, came out on October the 16th. And that was the point that the writer was making, that during Joe Biden's time in office, he's less than now 4 years, 7.5 million border encounters is what they're calling them. 5.2 million of those 7.5. So five out of seven of those encounters, five out of every seven were single adults and mostly males. And you have to ask, heck, are their families? And the House Judiciary Committee has started looking closer at those figures, and they estimate not 7.5 million, but somewhere between 10 to 20 million illegal aliens have come into the country. 65,000 of those documented from China, another 40,000 documented from Russia, and those people coming in from special interest countries, the Middle East countries, that's kind of code words for possible terrorists. Then actual terrorists on the watch list have come through. Then you've got criminals coming through. You've got the people carrying diseases coming through. And so you have this flood of people at the border. But let's say that the numbers are just the 5.2 million young adults, and say that 1% of those intend bad things to happen here in the U.S. They're here to cause harm. Well, that's 50,000 people that are here to cause harm. That's a tremendous number. Remember that 9/11 was just 19 people. And so you get to thinking that this invasion at the southern border is tremendous. But then if you take a look additionally at the fentanyl that's coming across, 110,000 Americans died in 2022, 110,000 1 year. We had people protesting in the streets over the casualties in Vietnam, and I don't diminish the effect of those casualties, but over a 20-year period, you had 55,000, and yet in 1 year, the deaths from this invasion of fentanyl at the southern border is two times what the casualties were during the 20-year period of the Vietnam conflict. And all of these things just put into context the serious problems that are coming at our southern border. And the administration is not even responding to the Democrats who are saying that the flood of illegals are collapsing city budgets. You've had an outbreak of TB in New York City. These are things that are unprecedented. And so even Democrat mayors and governors are calling on the president to secure the border. And it's as if the people that are making decisions for the president, it's like they don't care. I think more than that is they realize that Joe Biden will be pinned with the blame. And again, they put words in his mouth. They put words on the talking points on the papers that he reads from. And so he'll be the one to go down in history. But the people actually making the decisions will be covered and anonymous. And that's the scary part about what's going on right now.
So if you were an enemy state of the United States, say you're China or Russia, this would be a great way to attack us, essentially a war, killing our people without going to war.
Yeah, you get 110,000 people killed with drugs, but then the 65,000 Chinese that are here, you don't know if they're stealing state secrets. We know that the Chinese had that blimp that flew all across our military installations. So the 65,000 people here from China could be doing great harm right now to our companies to infiltrate our infrastructure. In other words, just imagine somebody putting a contaminated substance, a poison of some sort, in Elephant Butte. Everything downstream from that, all the way into Mexico, then is at risk. And so New Mexico, with its oil fields, with such a limited amount of water, you could attack one or two water sources in the state and basically decimate the population here. And so New Mexico, actually, when I was in Congress, was listed very high on the potential targets for terrorists because we're, number one, so exposed. But number two, the oil is so important to the world that they could cripple the oil market by actions here in southeast New Mexico and northwest New Mexico. So it's a time that Americans, I think, nervous about the situation in the world.
And you can't say there's nothing that can be done about it because we didn't have this problem on the border 3 years ago.
Yeah, President Trump knew what to do. And that's, I think, the key question that's going to come up in this presidential election. Not only who knows what to do, but who's got the nerve to do it. We've seen presidents from both parties in the past unwilling to tackle the tough international issues. Trump took on the trade issue, which is something where even our friendly nations, forget the nations that hate us, but friendly nations were taking advantage of us and stealing our jobs and our technology. And Trump put an absolute end to that. He also put an end to the crossings at the border. The illegal crossings plummeted because Mexico began to help us secure our border by securing their southern border. And so Central Americans and people from South America and all over the world couldn't come through and use Mexico as the conduit to us. Otherwise, Trump would have cut off their public aid. He was successful in getting the European community to start fighting terrorists and to support NATO. The Europeans were all brandishing their arms and talking bold, but the truth is they did very little. And now, because of the agreements that President Trump got, they're paying, I forget, 3% of their GDP, the same as we are, to support the NATO alliance. And President Trump really stabilized a lot of things, including the jobs and including our international trade. He began to pull back our manufacturing. Those are the key jobs that we lose. Retail is not a way to make a country prosperous. It's the manufacturing. That's the way to prosperity. And that's the reason China's been stealing our manufacturing jobs. They're disappearing to countries all over the world. And Trump began to claw those back.
Steve Pearce and I will be back in just a moment with more on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearce. Steve, do you think it's a coincidence after what happened in Israel? And by the way, Israel now is arming its citizens to help fight Hamas. And now here in the United States, where the same thing could happen, this governor wants to take away our right to carry arms. I would think at this point we might need those arms if what happened in Israel were to happen here.
Yeah, you start thinking about terrorists on the loose or those 110,000 Chinese and Russians being somewhere in the nation. And so that puts into context what our governor is doing. She won her case in court. The federal judge that was appointed by Joe Biden, he said that he's going to allow her gun ban to stand. And so then she came immediately out. Good article in the Pinon Post, John Block writing up that she's now saying that she wants to take gun rights away from legitimate owners during the next legislative session. Her comment that he puts in his post says, "We will work to make these gun violence prevention measures permanent." And so we as gun owners, we as Republicans, we as conservatives know that if we don't take on this historic legal battle, that she's not going to stop until she gets our guns taken away from us. Now, again, you have to put into context that that suspect in the killing of the 11-year-old boy, that's what precipitated her complete call for concealed carry owners to not be able to carry in high crime areas. That suspect has already been released with an ankle monitor. So she's not about stopping the crime or she'd keep the criminal in jail. She is about taking away your rights. And that should be concerning every American. If you think it's just her, know that Massachusetts, during its last legislative session, had the same restrictions that they were trying to pass in Massachusetts to restrict gun rights. And even there, it was such a radical concept that even in Massachusetts, the Democrat-controlled legislature could not get it passed. Then if you factor in one more thing, that's this gag order. This judge, Tanya Chutkan, placed a gag order on President Trump saying that he can't talk bad about the prosecutors who are doing their job. What her comment was, she said that the right to free speech is not an absolute right, that it yields to the administration of justice, which means it yields to the courts. So when I think about not being able to talk bad about people who are in the government doing their job, I think about the FBI agents who fabricated evidence against Senator Stevens from Alaska, caused him to lose that race, caused a 60-vote majority to happen in the Senate for the Democrats, caused not allowed Obama to pass the Obamacare, and also to pass the most egregious curtailing of our banks, the small independent banks across America. All of those things happened because of that 60-vote majority, and the 60-vote majority happened because the FBI was fabricating evidence against a sitting U.S. senator who was very popular in Alaska, caused him to lose the race. And later it came out that they had fabricated. And so nobody could talk bad about those FBI agents if this judge's gag order is allowed to stand for all people. Then also remember that Michael Flynn was bankrupted, not because he did anything wrong, but because the Justice Department kept bringing charges. He had to try to defend himself, and it essentially bankrupted him. He pleaded guilty when they started doing the same thing to his son. And so people would not be able to talk about the government agency and government agents who actually perpetrated these things if these gag orders are allowed to stand. So know that it's not just Michelle Lujan Grisham trying to take your guns. It's every Democrat elected official in the country. And it's not just a judge who's trying to take away your freedom of speech. Take a look at the Democrat-controlled campuses and universities and know that they don't want freedom of speech on those universities. And so it's not just isolated cases. These are not mistakes that are being made. These are not just one person overreaching. These are part of a much larger picture trying to take away the constitutional rights of American citizens, because it's our freedom, it's our liberty, it's our independence that causes America to be a great country. If we don't have that, then we're going to be just like other countries at that point. So I'm in the fight for our rights. That's the reason I still stay in this political fight for freedom and liberty and for the free market, because that's where prosperity comes from. That's where jobs and opportunity come from. I just was riding with an Uber driver a couple of days ago from Ethiopia. He said that he came here for opportunity, and he said the opportunities are magnificent. He said they're everywhere. He said back in Ethiopia, he said my family still lives there, and they don't ever have a chance to succeed. There's nothing ever for them. And so what the left is trying to do is make us more like Ethiopia and less a destination for people who hope and dream for a better life.
You have to wonder why. What is it? Is it about control? They want more control over our everyday lives? Why do they want to take these things away from us?
They want the political power. When you don't have anything, then you're going to vote for the people who will give you something. Republicans are not about making handouts to you. And so the Democrats want to collapse the system. So if you remember back at the beginning of COVID, you have to ask yourself, why did they leave the big box stores open and they close the small businesses? Because small businesses are independent. They're the lifeblood of the economy of the U.S. And so the Democrat, the socialist, the leftist all agreed that we don't need the small businesses because they're hard to control. Big box stores got one owner, one CEO, one board of directors for the entire world. And you can control a small group, but these independent owners that have resources, they're able to live independent of the government. They're the ones that the government is trying to shut down. So it's all about being able to maintain the political control of the system. It's like Russia. They didn't care how much people suffered. The Marxists, the Leninists, they wanted control, because they could stay in power if they control the economy and control access to jobs and wages to pay to let their families eat and to have a place to live. And so always the left prospers, the left benefits when people have nothing. And conservatives, our job is to make sure that people have a way to make a living. make sure that they're independent of the government. That's our aim and our job. So the huge difference between Democrats and Republicans is simply that.
I'm talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. In just a moment, we'll talk about groups in the United States who support the terrorism that Hamas has deployed on Israel. This is Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking to the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. We started the program with President Biden on 60 Minutes and what 60 Minutes said were his thoughts on the Israel situation. Now it's time to get your thoughts.
Derek, as we're talking about Israel and Hamas, it's important to know that the fringe left groups who are expressing support for Hamas's invasion and its brutal attacks in Israel, indication of where the left is in this country. They're no longer Democrats. They're Marxists, they're socialists, communists, whatever you want to call them. But you know, AOC and the squad has refused to condemn Hamas for their attacks, and they have instead condemned Israel. So it's very noteworthy that Congresswoman Stansbury refused to sign the pro-Israel resolution that was aimed at condemning the Hamas terrorist attacks. She posted a tweet which condemned the attacks, but then you have to consider those are just words. She is refusing to actually do anything about it. And so words versus action, that tells you where someone is. But also, I was really amazed to learn that NMSU refused to condemn Hamas. They refused before UNM did. And you always think, okay, NMSU is the conservative university here in New Mexico. But in their refusal to condemn Hamas, it tells you where the Board of Regents are, where the president is. And so you're going to start seeing the donations dry up to places like this. But after Harvard and Yale and a bunch of the other schools began to join with the radicals and condemn Israel and support Hamas, billionaires begin to say, hey, we had committed to give this and that. And the estimate is that over $500 million in funding has dried up in the last week to those big institutions. But we talked last week that Black Lives Matter announced its support for Hamas. So the end result is that you've got to say that Hamas bears the blame for the deaths in this war. And I think Israel is about to do the same thing they did in 1967. I think they're going to clear out a lot of the leadership. They've already killed the leader who planned these attacks on October 7th. Again, I think Hamas is trying to keep the Palestinians there in order to get more civilian deaths because they're willing to sacrifice civilians for their political objective of annihilating Israel. It's a very dangerous time in the world. I think that America must stand close with Israel. They're our first line of defense. They are the target for every one of the radical groups throughout the Middle East. And if Israel weren't there, those radical groups would be coming into our neighborhoods after us. And so Israel is our first line of defense, and we should support them all the way.
I noticed they completely eliminated Ukraine from the news, so you have to wonder if maybe Russia had something to do with the attack on Israel to some degree, because it's taken the heat off of Russia.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right that you always really have to study hard to figure out where things are originating. And so I think that China and Russia could be combining to support this. I know the Iranians are supporting it with the money that Joe Biden turned loose. And so all of them, I think, are trying to stretch our resources and bankrupt us the same way that we bankrupted the USSR. I think that they have a plan to take the country down the drain through using of our resources in these military ventures around the globe.
Going back to the state legislature, wanted to take away our guns because the governor is pressing that. You were in the state legislature. Now, I know a lot of Democrats here who would agree with us. They like to have their guns, whether it's for protection, hunting, just target shooting. You go to the state legislature and vote to take away guns in New Mexico. I have a feeling you're going to be voted out in New Mexico. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, especially in the rural areas. A lot of the rural Democrats are going to lose their seats if they vote for this gun control. But also just the threat of it is causing people to flock into the stores. You remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked to Louis Sanchez of Calibers, and he said that the guns are flying out the door. And he said this time it's not just Republicans and conservatives. This time it's Democrats and liberals who are afraid. They're seeing the crime rampant in our streets. They're afraid of local crime. But now then people have the fear that the border is letting in a lot of dangerous people, and folks just want to be able to protect their household and their family. So as we wrap up, voting has begun for these municipal elections that are going on now, school boards, local offices, and that voting is taking place. I would urge people to get out and vote, but vote for someone different. Quit voting for the Democrats who are causing all of the chaos in the country and in the world. Vote for people who will bring sound governing principles into your city and your schools. Many of the things that are going on would not be possible if the school board members simply exercise their right to control the school districts. And those need to be conservatives, not the liberals who support this craziness of putting men into women's locker rooms.
These are nonpartisan elections. How do you know if people are conservative or not?
Yeah, right now you can go on the website for GOP New Mexico, for RPNM, Republican Party of New Mexico, and we will tell you which ones are conservative, which ones are Republicans, which ones are lifelong liberals. And so take a look at our website. I've got information there that'll help you know.
And that website is newmexico.gop. If you would like to find out more information about the Republican Party of New Mexico, check out that website. They also have a Facebook page and an X account. If you would like to speak to someone at the Republican Party of New Mexico in person, call 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week on Inside New Mexico.